Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And if you'd like to take out the outline that was given to you, we just have a brief outline tonight. And yet we want to open up God's Word and just take a moment in the Word of God tonight. Truly, every song that we heard tonight was a sermon. If you were listening to the words and the doctrine was permeating the songs tonight, for which I'm so very thankful. And in fact, most of the verses I'm about to read have already been sung. Isn't that a blessing? And so the Lord was in that for sure. And I want you to look at John 1:14, a very familiar passage. And we'll just kind of break it apart just a little bit. Before we turn there, perhaps you've heard the saying concerning the four steps in life. There are four steps in life. And the first step is that you believe in Santa Claus. And the second step is that you don't believe in Santa Claus. And the third step is that you are Santa Claus. And the fourth step is that you look like Santa Claus. And how many of you would say after a certain amount of fudge and goodies, you resemble that fourth step, right? And tonight we want to just focus in on really the truth of this season. And John chapter 1, if you're a guest with us, we're going to ask you tonight just to follow along with us and trust that you'll be blessed as well. Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." During this Christmas season, we come across people nearly every day who have either not fully understood or have not received the truth that we celebrate, the truth that even kindergartners understand in this room tonight. Tonight I want to share with you from this one verse, three eternal truths that could change your life forever. We see in the Word of God tonight this statement, "And the Word was made flesh." Would you say that with me tonight? "And the Word was made flesh." I want you to notice the first truth tonight that comes to us from the Scripture, and that is the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Jesus Christ. Here we see Jesus referred to as the Word, the eternal Word, which is also mentioned in John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Here we see the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Word, the pre-existent Son of God. Jesus did not begin His existence in Bethlehem's manger. He took the form of man in Bethlehem's manger, but He is eternal God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it was prophesied that the deity that we now refer to as Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ would come to this earth in the form of man. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And we recognize that this prophecy referred to the coming of Christ. Micah 5:2, we often quote because it speaks of the location of the birth of Christ, Bethlehem. But look at the last portion of that verse, Micah 5:2. It says this, "Who shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." So the one that would come to be the ruler in Israel was foretold by Micah to be the one whose goings forth were from old, from everlasting. We believe that Jesus Christ is from everlasting. We believe that He is eternally God. In fact, Jesus Christ Himself said it this way, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so He is eternal God. There was a theologian in the second century who wrote these words, "Jesus is Himself in His own right, beyond all men who ever lived, God and Lord and King, eternal and the incarnate Word, proclaimed by all the prophets, the apostles, and by the Spirit Himself. He is the Holy Lord, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Beautiful in appearance, and the Mighty God, coming on the clouds as the judge of all men. All these things did the scriptures prophesy of him. When Irenaeus wrote that in the second century AD, he was simply repeating the truth that was known from scripture that had been passed down personally in a firsthand way to him by the apostles and by those who followed after the apostles. And the doctrine of the deity of Christ is not something that has been recently invented. It is an eternal truth. It was recorded in the scripture. Jesus was revealed as God in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. Not only was it prophesied, but this is exactly what Jesus claimed to be. It was exactly what he claimed to hold true concerning himself. In John 8 and 28, Jesus said, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing by myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." He said, "You'll finally understand when you lift me up that I am the Son of God. Before Abraham was, I am." You see, Jesus Christ not only was prophesied to be the Son of God, but he claimed to be the Son of God, the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the door, the way of everlasting life. And so when we come to this season, we must be mindful of the fact that deity is the central truth. The deity of Jesus Christ is the central truth of the Christmas season. But we not only see in this verse the deity of Christ, we also see the humanity of Christ. And I want you to notice this, for the Bible says, "The Word was made flesh." He was made flesh. The young people quoted the passage tonight from Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Verse 7, "And he was made in the likeness of men." Colossians tells us that in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, the Father refers to Jesus Christ as God. And throughout the scripture, we see that he was God in eternity past. Yes, he was God in the manger. He is God at the right hand today as a part of the Trinity. But we see this evening that the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, deity wrapped in humanity. What a tremendous truth to ponder tonight. What a tremendous offering from heaven for our sin. T. DeWitt Talmage wrote, "Son of Mary, Son of God, Child of a day, Monarch of eternity. In that eye the glance of God, omnipotence sheathed in the babe's arm. That voice to be changed from the feeble cry to the tone that shall wake the dead." He was as surely God in the manger as he will be at the second coming with his vesture dipped in blood when he returns for his own. You see, Jesus Christ is deity wrapped in humanity. He was made flesh and he dwelt among us. And I love that part of the verse. The Bible says he was made flesh and he dwelt among us. He came to this earth where he was tempted, Hebrews says, in all points like as we are. In other words, there's nothing that you can experience this Christmas season that he hasn't already experienced. The shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Jesus knew what it was like to lose someone that he loved very much. Jesus knew every form of physical pain that we could possibly experience. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He dwelt among us. The Bible says in Luke 2 and 40, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Jesus Christ grew and developed. Yes, he dwelt among us and walked among us, and we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was our ultimate example in all matters of life. He was not only made flesh, but he dwelt among us in that flesh. And so it is that the scriptures tells us that we can follow in his steps. And so we see the deity of Christ in John 1:14, and we see the humanity of Christ as well. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And that brings us to our final truth tonight. Not only do we see the deity of Christ at Christmas, not only do we see the humanity of Christ at Christmas, but we see the sacrifice of God at Christmas. The sacrifice of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, if you haven't got into the mode yet, this is the season of getting some gifts, isn't it? And some of you may be like me. You'll meet me at Walmart at midnight on Christmas Eve. And some of you may be doing some last-minute things like that. But this is a time of year where we think about the gifts that we're going to give. And I have to tell you tonight, the greatest gift that has ever been given is when God gave his only begotten Son. My wife was asking me the other day, she said, "Honey, the kids want to know what you want for Christmas." And I tried to say some things. And after a while, I said, "You know what, honey? If each of our children would just write me a note and tell me how they're doing, tell me what God's doing in their life, if they would just give an expression of God to me, of what God is doing in their life." And I want you to know that over 2,000 years ago, God gave the greatest expression of love when he sent his Son. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be his representation, to show to us how much he cared and how much he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, who would have ever thought that in America, all of these truths would be not only subtly brushed under, but now openly castigated in our society? Those of you that follow me either on Twitter or Facebook may have noticed a little post that I placed out yesterday, just a news article of a school in Virginia where the administration of the school asked the teachers not to talk about Christmas in the public school, but in the art classes for the high school, in their calligraphy session of the class, in order to teach calligraphy, they were teaching the children how to write in Arabic, "Allah is great," in the public school. Who would have ever thought it would come to that, that we're not allowed to sing "Joy to the World" in public places, "The Lord has come," but it's okay to write "Allah is great"? You see, America is quickly turning away from the truth that we hold so dear to our hearts tonight. And that is why the children learning these songs and saying, "This is what I believe." And that is why Christian education doesn't cost, it pays. And that is why it's a joy and a privilege to give and to spread the gospel through gospel tracts and running buses and preaching on the radio and any and every way we can to promote the truth that Jesus Christ is deity and he did come in the form of flesh, and that the sacrifice of Christ was made by God so that all could know salvation. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave. And then it says this, that whosoever, grandma, grandpa, young woman, young man, whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. You see, it really doesn't matter what someone's background is, what their religious background is. Did you know that you could be a Baptist and be lost and on your way to hell? Did you know that God can save any and every Muslim that would ever trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. What matters is that you believe that as a sinner you can't save yourself and that you believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says in John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we think about what God has done for us, when we think about how wonderful and how precious the gift of salvation is, we must all say tonight that we are unworthy of it, that it is only by his grace that we are saved, that God would come down to shepherds, that God would come down to common people like us is overwhelming to me. One author said it this way years ago, "Glory be to God that Jesus came from throne to manger, that we might rise from manger to throne, and that all the gates are open, and that the door of heaven that once swung this way to let Jesus out now swings this way to let us in." That's only possible because Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ opened the door. John 1:14, what does it tell us? It tells us about the deity of Christ. It tells us about the humanity of Christ, and it tells us about the sacrifice of Christ, that he came to be exactly what the young people sang about a moment ago, the Lamb of God, to shed his blood on the cross for our sin. Never forget the theological significance of this season. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You don't have to go to 4 years of Bible college and 3 years of seminary to know in your heart the greatest theological truth that has ever been known in this world, that God became man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That, my friend, is profundity wrapped in simplicity. That is the gift of God to all who believe.